on CBS Sports Radio.
Hour number two on a Finish Strong Friday. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Ross Tucker filling in for Jim here, back-to-back days, having an unbelievable time. Always cool to reminisce with my college roommate and teammate there, Kyle Brandt, who all of you are familiar with. I didn't know he was with Jim for 9 years. That is crazy. There's some things from last night's game that I want to discuss a little bit later this hour. And I also want to get into a little bit of Deshaun Watson stuff, although we hit it so hard yesterday. I've got some Brady stuff. I've got some Jimmy G stuff. I still think if you're a team like the Seahawks or the Falcons, how can you not try to get Jimmy G? Unless you're just admitting to your fan base that you're not actually trying to win football games this year. And I want to get back to a bunch of your calls, because I want you guys to really sell me on two things. One is what Hall of Fame you deserve to be in. Kyle said he should be in the Tecmo Bowl first ballot Hall of Fame. And then who's not in the Hall of Fame that should be? Zach Thomas is a big one for me. Zach Thomas might be my new guy. The last few years, it was Tony Boselli and Richard Seymour. I think I might make Zach Thomas my new guy, having gone against him as much. So smart. So smart. So instinctive. Tough as nails. Had a great burst. I'm a big Zach Thomas guy, and I think he deserves to get in. It's going to be tough, though, because Patrick Willis deserves to get in, too. It's obviously not easy. What is easy for me is talking with my guy, Greg Cosell. 43 years at NFL Films. He has been the executive producer of the NFL matchup show on ESPN since the day it started. Now he's on the air, and he joins me every single week on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast because there is nobody better. He is the civilian GOAT, and I got him. I think I might have got him first. At least I got him early. So always great to be joined. Check him out on social media, because after he blows you away over the next 10, 15 minutes, you're going to want to be following everything he's doing. Greg, always good to talk with you, even though it's on a different platform. Thanks for coming on the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, Ross, thanks for having me. This is fun. You must be having a great time.
It is, man. I'm at the Hall of Fame, Greg, right now.
Oh, good for you.
Looking at the stage. Yeah, I'm here for Tony Boselli. So I'm looking at the stage. They're setting everything up. It's really interesting to see how they changed the whole field to, like, now it looks like it's getting ready for a rock concert. Pretty awesome. We had a game last night, Greg, and I know that you haven't actually, you know, had the chance to break down the tape of it, so I'm not going to ask you about last night's game. What I am going to ask you, though, what matters and what doesn't in your mind when evaluating or watching preseason games? You know, like, we got a bunch of people watching on TV or listening. What should they care about and should they watch, and what should they not, in your expert opinion?
You know, that, and I'm being honest, that's a hard question to answer, because I think that's very team, coach, and player specific. I think coaches are looking for specific things, whether it's schematic, something that they've been working on in practice that they want to see how it actually plays out versus another team, or particular players that they either like or are uncertain about. So I think that's a very hard question to answer, because you just don't know. I'm sure a lot of people were surprised, for instance, that Josh Jacobs played as much as he did last night and started the game. I'm sure that was an eye-opener for many, because Josh Jacobs has been basically their feature back. So, you know, obviously Josh McDaniels has something in mind which we don't necessarily know about. So I think that's a really hard thing to deal with, you know. So that's why preseason for me is hard, because I really like the schematics of the game, as you know, the tactics of the game, and that's not really what preseason is.
Yeah, he said, Josh McDaniels said, by the way, I always think it's good for backs to carry the ball in the preseason. There's a lot of things that happen when you're getting tackled and hit that you can't simulate in practice. I think all our guys had the ball tonight. I think all our guys either caught it or were handed the ball and had to get tackled. We can't really simulate that or rep that in practice. I guess what I don't really understand about that is, I mean, don't you think Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams are going to get tackled at some point, too? I guess I don't – I'm not sure I totally follow that logic,
so,
Greg.
I mean, that's why this stuff's hard, and I'm just being honest. I think that's a really hard thing to figure out why certain guys play and certain guys don't. You know, we know that quarterbacks, for the most part, the main ones in particular, are not going to play, you know, unless there's a new coach who just wants to see that quarterback run a series or two just within the context of new verbiage. I mean, that's another factor that a lot of people don't necessarily think about, particularly with quarterbacks, is when you have a new system, there's verbiage. You have to be able to get in the huddle and speak it with conviction. And even if you're a bit of a veteran, if it's totally different language, you have to get a feel for that.
All right, let's talk, Greg, about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
You've watched him a lot over the years. You're intimately familiar with Jimmy as a player. He's available. The Niners have made no bones about it. He's available. You know, he's kind of a polarizing player, Greg. There are people that really point to the success he's had and a couple NFC championship games and the amount of games they've won with him. And then there's others that think that he was just more or less kind of along for the ride. When you actually break down the tape, what is Jimmy? How good is Jimmy?
You know, Ross, I don't think Jimmy's polarizing to coaches in the least. I think this is a fan and media thing. I think people understand what Garoppolo is. There's no mystery to his game whatsoever. Garoppolo is a timing and rhythm player. He's a pocket quarterback. The longer he's in the pocket, the less effective he is. He's not a second reaction player, but he's willing to make difficult throws. He was asked to make a lot of difficult throws within the context of the 49ers offense because their pass game was, for whatever reason, predominantly between the numbers. So he threw the ball where there are a lot of bodies, and you have to make those throws with really precise timing and ball location. Every once in a while, he'd miss one. That would be a head-scratcher. But Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback that needs the system to present the reads and the throws for him. He's not going to give you other things that a lot of people believe now are extremely important in the NFL, such as second reaction ability. He's not a great deep ball thrower. They did not throw it outside the numbers very much, whether that's part of Shanahan's system or whether they didn't feel Garoppolo could make those throws effectively. We probably don't exactly know the answer to that. But when you talk to coaches, because the tape tells you this, Ross, when you talk to coaches, there's no mystery to Jimmy Garoppolo.
But he clearly, Greg, it's fair to say, would you agree that he clearly would be a better fit or, I think, a better option for, like, the Atlanta Falcons than Marcus Mariota, or better in Seattle than Drew Locke and Geno Smith? I mean, he's definitely still better than some of these guys that are starting, right?
Well, look, I don't believe he's going to be traded to Seattle. Maybe he's going to end up being cut. I don't know whether Seattle would be interested or not, but he would fit, I think, that style. And I don't want people to say that, well, he's going to end up in Seattle, because you know how that works. You say that and people think you're saying he'll be in Seattle. He fits a style of offense where you want to start with the run game, and clearly a team like Seattle wants to do that, Ross. Look, they had Rashad Penny, whose durability has been an issue, but over the last five or six games last season looked as good as any back in the league. They drafted Kenneth Walker from Michigan State in the second round. Pete Carroll and the organization have made no bones about the fact that their offense will start with the run game. They changed coordinators. They're going to change a lot of their defensive philosophies. There'll be a lot more of the Vic Fangio approach with their new coordinator. So they're looking to be what many would consider old school: run the ball, play really good defense, have good special teams, and have your quarterback be an executor. Jimmy Garoppolo fits that. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo is.
Would he be an upgrade in Houston over Davis Mills?
No. Not in my opinion. I mean, Davis Mills, the sample size is small, but I watched a lot of Davis Mills about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I really liked his tape. Now, again, having said that, I'm not suggesting Davis Mills is now going to be an elite NFL quarterback this season, but I think there's far more to work with Davis Mills than with Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo is what he is. He's not going to be different. He's played enough games. He's not old, but he's older. Davis Mills is a young ascending quarterback that has a better throwing skill set than Jimmy Garoppolo and is arguably more mobile. Mills actually showed some movement ability. So Davis Mills is a more talented, if you're just talking skill set, Davis Mills is a more talented player.
Do you think Davis Mills is going to be a longtime NFL starter, Greg? I mean, you sound like you kind of like him.
I do like him. And again, you know, Houston has made some upgrades, certainly on the O-line. We'll see what their run game is this year. I think they need that to be a factor. I'm really saddened by the fact that John Metchie can't play this year because John Metchie, I watched his tape from last season and the season before, and I really like John Metchie's tape. He very much reminded me in the way he ran routes and the nature of his game of a Robert Woods, a really solid player. So they're missing that, but I think they're hoping Nico Collins at wide receiver can really start to come on, big, lean, fast. But I like Davis Mills based on tape study. Again, we'll see, because they're not going to be a great team, but they should be better overall. They really addressed their defense. They should be better overall than they were a year ago.
Talking with the civilian GOAT, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, 43 years. Greg joins me every week on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast because there is no better film evaluator than Greg. Love getting him on. Love talking with him at any time. You know, Greg, we don't talk Hall of Fame that much, though, because we're always so focused on the current players and the video that you just watched. But I'm here, man. I'm here, and you work for NFL Films for 43 years. So out of this group of guys that's being in, they're getting their gold jackets tonight, I'll be there, they're being inducted, given the speeches tomorrow, is there a guy or two that really stands out to you, or just maybe that you want to comment on, having followed their career?
Well, Dick Vermeil is someone I know, and Dick Vermeil would come into NFL Films when I worked very closely with Ron Jaworski for years when Jaws was on the matchup show and I was producing it before I was on it. And Coach Vermeil would come in quite a bit, so I got to know him. He'd watch tape with us, and I would just love hearing him talk. When I say hearing him talk, it wasn't so much about the X's and O's, which obviously he can do extremely well, but just talk about approach. And, you know, one thing he said, and this goes back years and years, and I'd like to think I was like this before I heard him say it, but one thing he said that I'll never forget, and he said, and it's so simple, Ross, he said, no one gets better by working less. And I've never, ever forgotten that. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the reason I work like a lunatic, but I always believe that you're not going to get better at whatever it is you're doing by working less at it. That it requires more work, more time, more effort, more focus. And, you know, that's something I always took away from him. But the thing I remember most from the football standpoint is his eyes immediately, and you'll love this, immediately went to the offensive line. And he would start talking about the splits of the offensive line and what that said about the particular play that was upcoming, and you know how they're structured. And I mean, it was brilliant to hear, because I never fashioned myself as an offensive line aficionado in terms of the overall. You know, I'm not talking about a player skill set. I'm talking about the cohesion that's required. You know, with all five guys, which you would know more about than I. And his eyes immediately went to the offensive line.
What about any of the players that are getting in? It's Cliff Branch.
Richard
Seymour. There's a bunch of guys.
I thought Richard Seymour was a very unique player, because he was, and you probably played against him, did you not?
Yeah, Greg, I said earlier on the show, he's the best defensive lineman I ever played against. He was awesome.
And I didn't know you said that, but he was 6'5", over 300 pounds. He was a movement player at a time when a lot of people did not move people around on the D-line, so he was multi-positional, as you well know. And, you know, he was not a guy that got 100 sacks or 150 sacks, But I just thought Richard Seymour was such a good football player. He was, you can speak to it better than I. Watching tape, he was country strong. I mean, he could move you. You know, he was the perfect combination of strength and power. Strength being able to hold your spot, power being strength in motion. And I thought he was the perfect combination of that. And I thought he was such a key factor. You know, back in those days, before, in a sense, Brady became Brady, when that team was built more on defense and running the ball, I thought that Richard Seymour was a true foundational piece.
Yeah, you know what I always say to people about him, Greg? A couple things. Number one, most D linemen, a good defensive lineman has two of these three. You can be in the NFL with one of these three. If you have all three, then you're a Hall of Fame caliber player. He had unbelievable natural ability. He was 6'6", 310, moved very well, long arms, strong, all that. Number two, though, Greg, he had impeccable technique.
Yeah.
I mean, his hand placement and usage was fantastic. And number three, which is actually one of the ones that a lot of the D linemen don't have, Greg, he had a nonstop motor. He was a prick. I mean, he was a jerk. He really liked boxing. He really wanted to beat you up. Like, that's how he became a Hall of Fame player. He had all three of those, which is why, and I'm telling you right now, Greg, if he played like in the B gap between the guard and tackle and a Tampa 2 defense, like if he and Sapp traded places, he could have had outrageous numbers. He was that good.
I agree with you. And then, you know, everybody looks at numbers, and he didn't have the sack numbers, but I'm glad he's in because he's now being recognized for what he is, which was a great dominant player.
All right. Last question I wanted to ask you, Greg. We're doing this all day on the show.
Okay.
I've got all of Jim's callers calling in to sell me on guys they think should be in the Hall of Fame. So Kyle Brandt just sold me on Zach Thomas and Devin Hester. Earlier, we had guys call in about Darren Woodson, about Lester Hayes, the corner for the Raiders. Is there a guy that you can sell me on, that you're going to sell me on right now, that's not in the Hall of Fame that you believe should be?
Yeah, Clay Matthews. I think
Clay Matthews Sr.
Yes, the linebacker for the Cleveland Browns, who ended his career, you know, playing a couple of years in Atlanta, but obviously played the first, I think, 16 years of his career in Cleveland. Clay Matthews was a great football player, and if you speak to people who played against him, they will tell you that. And in fact, he did have sack numbers. Now, keep in mind that now we think of sack numbers in terms of guys getting 140, 150. He played in the 80s, because he started his career in the late 70s, when, don't forget, with very few exceptions, Lawrence Taylor obviously comes to mind, the greatest outside pass rusher probably we've seen, who was listed as a linebacker. But those days, those guys didn't necessarily automatically rush the quarterback, as you well know. But Clay Matthews has the numbers to match whatever you want to speak about. And he was, to me, just a great football player for a long time. You know, that's the other factor, too. I think when a guy plays at a really high level for a long time, you know, I'm not one who believes in the argument, Ross, if a guy plays a really long time that, oh, well, he was never the best at his position. You know, as a guy who played in the league, how hard it is to play 19 years in this league. And he played all 16 games, I would say 10, 11 of those seasons. And then 15 games probably, you know, in a number of other seasons. That's really hard to do. And he put up big tackle numbers, and he did put up sack numbers, by the way. So to me, Clay Matthews should be in the Hall of Fame.
19 years as a linebacker is insane. He should be in the Hall of Fame just for that. I mean, to start 248 professional football games and play in 278, that's just bananas.
Yeah.
Greg, you are the man. I really appreciate the time. Highly encourage everyone to follow Greg on social media at Greg Cosell, and make sure you subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast so you can hear Greg each and every week. He breaks down, especially the quarterbacks. We'll start to get into some of the young guys that he watches in the preseason the next few weeks. And then, of course, during the season, always getting Greg's thoughts on the biggest matchups in the biggest games. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Ross. Appreciate it.
That guy's awesome. Absolutely love it. And I love talking with you guys. Here's what we got. We have an hour now that's all for you. Because Dan Pompey, who's a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, he's going to join me in an hour at 2:20 p.m. Eastern time. But between now and then, it's the clones. It's you guys calling me on two different things. Who are you selling me on? And I want a good sell job. I don't want you to half-ass it. I want you to give me a good sell job on who should be in the Hall of Fame and why. And you can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Ross Tucker NFL, to let me know, or email me if it's a little bit longer, over at rosstucker.com, to let me know what you would go in the Hall of Fame as. I've got some people chiming in on social media. We'll get to that when we come back. 20 minutes past the hour here. Ross Tucker filling in here on the Jim Rome Show. Ask the pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ross Tucker coming to you live from Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio, here where the gold jacket ceremony will be tonight. And then tomorrow will be the official induction ceremony. And I'm enjoying having you guys tell me who you think should be in the Hall of Fame. I want to get to more of them. You can also hit me up with an email over at rosstucker.com. Or feel free, as always, to hit me up on Twitter at rosstuckerNFL. Two things I'm into today. Number one, you guys selling me. Pitching me on who's not in the Hall of Fame but should be. This is your chance. Jim Rome Show is a huge platform, tons of people listening and watching. You get to state your case for your guy. The people getting in this year, Leroy Butler, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Art McNally, Tony Boselli, Bryant Young, Cliff Branch, Dick Vermeil. I can tell you right now, I already talked about Seymour last segment with Greg Cosell. Bryant Young was awesome, too. BY was so good. And I've made my position on Tony Boselli very clear over the years. I want to get to some of your calls. The number, since we're based out of New York today, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. 4227. I actually want to see who makes the best pitch of the day. Let's get to Steve. He's in Buffalo. What's up, Steve?
Ross, how you doing? Ross, how you doing? This is Tuckhead Steve. I wanted to let you know that, you know, before I make my Hall of Fame recommendation, I'm sitting here in my Zuba shorts. I'm trying to get some work done before going to the Ralph tonight, not Highmark Stadium. To your point about Heinz Field, you mentioned on the podcast a week or so ago, whatever it's called now, it's always going to be the Ralph to me. There's a Bills practice tonight. They gave out 70,000 tickets. Western New York is just going bonkers right now for the Bills.
Hold on a second. So for people who don't know, Bills training camp is at St. John Fisher College in Rochester. But you're telling me they're coming to Buffalo, to Orchard Park, for a practice, and how many tickets did they sell?
Well, they gave them away for free. Yeah, I went to training camp last week at St. John Fisher. That was awesome. Brought my kids. Taking my kids to the stadium tonight. 70,000 tickets for tonight's practice.
70,000?
Yeah, I mean, I think the capacity of the stadium is 71, so it should be a full stadium for practice tonight.
That is unbelievable. So, I mean, obviously the Bills have been good the last couple of years, but why, before you give me your pitch, why is it to this level? Like, why is Bill's fever at this, like, fevered pitch at this point?
I mean, yeah, they've been playing great. But, you know, a lot of my friends, everybody's super nervous because everyone in the media, like, everywhere you look, everyone's picking the Bills to make a run at it. They're picking Josh to be the MVP. And everyone, we're super nervous about it because we haven't had this for a long time. It's been, you know, since the early 90s where we've had, you know, a good amount of success. But I'm just telling everyone, you know, let's enjoy this. We've had little taste here and there over the last 20 years, but otherwise it's been a little rough. So we just gotta enjoy this time. So I think that's why there's 70,000 people going to see a practice tonight.
That is incredible, man. I remember when I was in Buffalo, we scrimmaged the Packers in Green Bay one night, and it was just about packed. It was incredible. Love that Steve, a loyal Ross Tucker Football Podcast listener, is calling in and on the Jim Rome show. You know, I don't do call-ins on my show, so it's nice to actually talk to. It's actually nice to talk to you, to talk to one of my listeners. So who are you? Can I guess who you're going to pitch me on? Tasker. It's Tasker, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to read, I guess. But you know,
well, I mean, who else is somebody from Buffalo going to pitch me on? But no, hit me up on Tasker, because I don't know if you were listening last hour, but Kyle Brandt called in and his big guy was Devin Hester, because he said if you're the best at doing something, you should be in the Hall of Fame. I think most people would tell you Tasker was the best special teamer.
100%, 100%. Yeah, so. 5 first-team All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls as a special teamer. That's extremely rare. He was the only special teamer as well to win a Pro Bowl MVP. Obviously helped the Bills get the 4 Super Bowls. He was on the Bills' 50th anniversary team, the Bills' Wall of Fame. You know, he altered special teams itself, you know, by mastering the gunner position. They actually had to change the rule so where you can't run out of bounds to stop him. So anytime a rule change happens to stop a player from being so dominant, I think that you know, shows he's worthy of the Hall of Fame.
So, 2 thoughts on this. First of all, I didn't realize he got drafted by the Oilers in the 9th round. What, did they cut him? Are they kidding? That is unbelievable. Morons, okay, number one. Number two, he had an unbelievable impact on those teams. Unbelievable impact. You know what I'm realizing? And, Steve, I appreciate the call. Appreciate you always listening as well to the Ross Tucker Podcast. Thank you for calling in. I think the big lesson for me so far today is just how many really good guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. Like, how hard it is to get in it. We've had Devin Hester, Zach Thomas, Lester Hayes, Darren Woodson, Steve Tasker. There hasn't been a guy yet where I've been like, no, he shouldn't be in. No, he doesn't deserve it. Not a guy yet that I felt that way about. That's pretty impressive if you think about it. Really impressive. That I kind of like it that way, though. I kind of like it that it's really hard to get into. It makes it more special. Now, I'm sure those guys don't like it. I'm sure Clay Matthews doesn't like it. You know, I'm sure Steve Tasker doesn't like it. I kind of have mixed emotions. On the one hand, I like that it's really, really exclusive and hard to get into. On the other hand, I feel like those guys kind of deserve to be in, probably. There hasn't been one guy yet where I've been like, no, definitely not. Every year when the finalists come out, I'm like, yeah, all those guys are Hall of Famers in my mind. It's a good call, Steve. I appreciate it. Let's get to more of them, because I've got another segment for you guys. Just hit me up with your tweets at Ross Tucker NFL and your calls, 855-212-4227. Give me your pitch. That was a pretty good pitch for Tasker. I didn't realize they changed a rule for him as well. Pretty good pitch there from Tuckhead Steve. I love it. We've got halfway through the show, we'll talk to Dan Pompey at 2:20 p.m. Eastern time. But when we come back after Mike McCann's update, it's all you guys. It's all the clones dominating on a Finish Strong Friday edition of the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Canton, Ohio, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Ross Tucker on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, welcome into the jungle. Ross Tucker with you again. We are rolling on a Finish Strong Friday. How about the huge tweet, Grainger, for the ones who get it done? Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Taking a look at the tweet of the day, the huge tweet. Of course, it's from my girl Bella B up in Calgary. I would love to see the Princess of Darkness at Amy Trask inducted into the Football Hall of Fame in the contributor category. Only female CEO, 16 years with the Raiders. She's an inspirational badass. Bella, did you do that on purpose? I guess, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it or not, but I just did because I'm reading a tweet. And Bella, if Bella pays attention that much that she used badass in a tweet because I wasn't sure earlier in the show if I could say it or not, Bella, you are next level. Mind blown right now and admired by all. And what's awesome is Amy Trask replied, "Thank you, Bella B. Thank you very much. You have touched my heart. And I thank you from my heart. And hi to you and Ross." Well, hi, Amy. Thank you for being part of the show in your own way. Let's get to some of you guys on the calls. That's what I want. I want to know who can step up and make a case, a good case, for somebody that should be in the Hall of Fame. How about Cliff in Wisconsin, where Jim's at? What's up, Cliff?
How you doing there, Ross? R-O-S-S. He did call nice. You Ross yesterday, by the way.
He did say Russ, didn't he? He did.
He did. He did. No doubt about it. That
Russ is a name for losers. Ross is a name for rock stars. That one letter makes a huge difference.
10-4 there. 10-4. I appreciate the effort that you gave as a professional football player, okay? But first and foremost, there are plenty of ex-Raiders that belong in the Hall of Fame. Lester Hayes, Dave Dalby, but most notably, Jim Plunkett. What other NFL quarterback took the beating that he did in New England? He was transferred. He was traded to the San Francisco 49ers. He almost gave up the game. He was so upset with himself. He sat on the bench at the Raiders. And when Pastorini broke his leg, and I believe it was the second or fourth game of the season, off the bench comes Jim Plunkett. Hadn't really been on a playing field in 4 years. Took the first wild card team to the Super Bowl, won it in 1980. Then in 1983, wins another Super Bowl. No other NFL quarterback that has two Super Bowl rings as a starting quarterback is not in the Hall of Fame. Jim Plunkett, he belongs in there. When you compare his stats to Joe Namath, he has comparable stats. Namath, after the 70 season, when he took the Jets to the Super Bowl, he never played on another winning team. That's a fact that not many people talk about. Jim Plunkett belongs in the Hall of Fame. Appreciate the time. You're doing a great job filling in for Jim Rome. You take care. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Here's the issue I would say, Cliff. A couple things, right? It is unbelievable. Raiders fans are unbelievable. They really are. I mean, they are so passionate about their squad and their guys being deserving. I'm very familiar with the Jim Plunkett argument. Here's the problem for Jim. He was never an all-pro quarterback. He never even made the Pro Bowl. Like, at no point was Jim Plunkett considered one of the best five or six quarterbacks. I thought it was a good call, Cliff. I really do. But I have a tough time with the Plunkett one. I really do. I mean, 72-72 as a starter, okay? 52% completion rate, 164 touchdowns, 198 picks. He has 34 more picks than touchdowns. Now, I know things were different back in the day. But your Namath thing, people always bring up Namath when they want to bring up guys with bad stats that made the Hall of Fame. Namath was like a cultural icon, first of all. Second of all, Namath played like in the 60s. Plunkett played after Namath. You know, more in the 70s and 80s. Namath was more 60s and then dipped into the 70s a little bit. I think he had an unbelievable comeback in his career. It's an amazing story. I don't think Jim Plunkett's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I have a tough time. That's one that I have a tough time with. These other guys I've been all on, like, deserving. I think it's great that they won the Super Bowl twice with Jim Plunkett. But if you were never considered one of the five or six best at your position, and he never was, I just don't see how you can be a Hall of Famer. I have a tough time with that. Let's go to Bill, who's in Tuscan. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's up?
Bill, what's Tuscan?
I was just saying that it should be Jim Plunkett, but you tore it down.
Hold on a second. You were going to go Plunkett too?
Yes, sir.
Hold on a second. I got two questions. Yeah. Where is Tuscan?
Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, okay. I got a text message. Tucson. Okay, that makes more sense. The text message I got, because I'm remote. So my guy Emmanuel Burberry, he's my producer today, doing a great job. It said it probably was autocorrect or something. It says Bill in Tuscan. Probably. I'm like, do I have a caller from Italy? Do I have a Bill in Tuscany? Did he just forget the Y? That's hilarious, Bill. So Bill, you called in to sell me on Plunkett, and that's what Cliff did. What is the deal with you Raiders fans? Is every Jim Rome listener a Raiders fan? Are there no other listeners out there, or people that call in? Number one. Number two, what? Why? It's unbelievable how obsessed you guys are.
Touchdown pass, right? 99
it's unreal.
Yards, right?
Who? Huh? Plunkett?
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares? One touchdown pass because he threw from the 1 yard line. There's like 20 guys that have done that. That's like he just tied for the record. Give me something new.
What's your favorite beer? Or that's what I want to ask you.
Okay, favorite beer. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
My favorite beer right now is the Julius from Treehouse Brewing up in Charlton, Mass. We picked up our daughters from overnight camp. And I think it's ranked like the number one beer in the world or something.
What's the name
and of it? It's called Julius. You can only get it at the brewery. It's an IPA. I literally, Bill, brought a Yeti cooler from Pennsylvania with me this morning so I could drink some beers from Treehouse tonight before the gold jacket ceremony and tomorrow night before Baselli's Vineyard Chic. I appreciate the call, Bill. Before Baselli's Vineyard Chic attire. What were you going to say? I think we lost Bill there. So by the way, speaking of things, I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to say I could be in the Hall of Fame for drinking IPAs. I'm sure there are people that can drink way more IPAs than me. I'm sure there are people that... I will just say, I think I'm up there. I think I'm pretty high on the list. How about this email, by the way, from one of you guys? Bernard Traffin, I'm going to say. As a semi-professional eater, we got guys going semi-pro now. We have a semi-pro eating league. This is amazing. I have won some competitions and made some money. Yeah, I guess that means you're a pro. You're not a semi-pro. I guess pro is if you just do it full-time. Semi-pro is if you do it part of the time. All right, I'm with you. And Bernard emailed me over at rostucker.com. I will have to see you eat in person before I believe you could be in the Scrambled Cheesy Eggs Hall of Fame. Joey Chestnut and other true professional eaters are on a whole other level. I.e., you and mean maybe better than 90% of the population, but Joey is at the 99.9%, and that is world class. Likewise, as someone who considered going to Princeton like you and playing basketball, I'll have to see you on the court before I believe you are in the Hall of Fame of NFL offensive linemen for three-point shooters. By the way, I've played basketball with at least three NFL Hall of Famers, including defending Randy Moss. So if our paths ever cross, let's meet up on the court. You're younger, taller, and probably in better shape with less injuries. But who knows? Perhaps I'll be able to take you in a game of one-on-one. Bernard, couple things, bro. Number one, I have not played basketball since I retired from the NFL, and I'm not going to. I had a back surgery when I was playing for the Bills. I tore my right MCL twice. Basketball is like suicide. I actually think I tried once before my buddy's wedding. I couldn't even dance at the wedding. I couldn't even move at the wedding. I was so miserable. I can't play basketball. So, but look, the Hall of Fame for offensive linemen, three-point shooters, I can't imagine there's that many O linemen that play in the NFL that can shoot like I could shoot back in the day in high school and even college intramurals. And then, remember, I'm not saying I'm the best. I'm saying I'm in the Hall of Fame for these things. So in the scrambled cheesy egg Hall of Fame, I don't know, are there 300 people that can eat more scrambled cheese eggs than me? I'm not sure. There might be, but I'm not sure. Speaking, by the way, of that, I want to get into a couple other things at the top of the next hour, because I'm very curious. We've done a great job on the Hall of Fame stuff, and if some of you guys want to call in and still pitch me, how many people are going to try to pitch me on Jim Plunkett or more Raiders? Are there no fans of other teams out there that are going to pitch me on other guys when we come back? There's got to be, right? I mean, there's got to be other people that are going to pitch me on other guys when we come back. Definitely want to hear that. I want to hear more of some of the Hall of Fames you guys are in. And I got a little Jimmy G and Tom Brady stuff as well before we get to my guy Dan Pompey, a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Ross Tucker here with you on the Jim Rome Show.